But anyway, this consciousness is the platform of real peace and real happiness. And we see that people are making arrangements for their happiness, their welfare, their protection, and so many ways. And of course, it is natural and also very practical to make plans and to try to carry out those plans. But we should always make sure that whatever we do is always in connection with the instructions of the spiritual master coming from the Lord, of course. And that way, one can take complete shelter of that activity and know that the Krishna's protection, Krishna's blessings are there in that activity. So, being absorbed in devotional service means being absorbed in the instructions of the Lord. And, of course, instructions of the Lord mean the instructions of the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master, who gives those instructions both in a general way, through the books and through lectures, but in a very specific and practical way, in an individual way, according to the particular disciple. So in each case, we have what is called general instructions and specific instructions. And one needs to follow both. Sometimes we see that there are many persons who have not been able to get a personal association of the spiritual master. Maybe in the case of certain Prabhupada disciples who are only exposed to his books and his general instructions, but never receive so many specific instructions. But still, one can pray and one can perform their devotional service to try to understand how to execute one's devotional service in such a way that is pleasing both to the Lord. And one should know that one is always free. Here it says that when the Lord sees this, he awards his complete shelter. Maharaj Ambarish was protected by the disc of the Lord. And we'll later on, we'll hear in this particular narration how the Lord's Sudarshan disc actually came personally to protect the Lord, to protect them. Maharaj Ambarish, when he was in a very difficult situation. And this is a devotee. Devotees have no worries. We do not care about the material energy, in the sense that we know that the material energy is also Krishna's energy. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suryate Sacharacharam. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that this energy is my energy. Daivi Esha Gunamayi. It is my energy, and it's also divine, but Maya Dakshina Prakriti, it's working under my direction. So the spiritual energy and material energy, all energies are working under the direction of the Lord. Natasyam karam karanam cha vidyate nas samit chadri drishit tradishite parashya shakta virhaya suyate svabhavika jnana balakriya cha. And this verse from the Svaita Svatara Upanishads explains that all of Krishna's energies are perfectly working according to the desire of the Lord. And all activities are being carried out automatically by those energies. So Krishna has complete control. It's not like in the material world, someone has some control of a family or of a society or of a government or even of a nation. But what is their control? They may be the president or the CEO or some executive, but they can't even control their mind and senses, not to speak of controlling their situation. So they have some control, but very limited. But Krishna's control is perfect, and that nothing happens without the sanction and grace of the Lord. Therefore, everything is being carried out perfectly, accordingly. Sometimes people look at why things are happening this way. Well, things are happening this way because that's the way they're meant to happen. Of course, that is due to the desires of the living entity, and therefore the material energy works in such a way as to facilitate that. And therefore, what we see as discrepancies and problems are simply the external energy acting according to the desire of the living entity. That's all. But in the higher sense, that's perfection, because the energy is working perfectly under the influence of the Supreme Controller, the Lord, the Supreme Lord. So there's no, what we say, dichotomy in the Lord's creation. Om Purnam Adaham Purnam Idam Purnam Purnam Udachyate Purnamasya Purnamaya Purnam Eva Vavasishyate. That everything is working perfectly according to the direction of the Supreme Personality. But we will not be able to see that perfection in our own devotional life unless we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. The perfection of Krishna's hand in every aspect of existence is only understood by one who is on the spiritual platform. Krishna says, one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that when you try to see, or you act in such a way as to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, try to remember the Lord and engage in devotional service, you are in a perfectional stage of activity and consciousness. And therefore you will be able to see perfection everywhere, and everything is working according to that. Just like we had the example of Srila Prabhupada. This was a nice little story. When Prabhupada was living in Calcutta prior to his meeting of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, this was during World War I. He was living in the what we call the British Quarter. And during that time, the Germans would bomb the British Quarter, and sometimes during the war. And prior to the bombing, we know that they had what is called bomb alerts. What's the word they use for? Air raid sirens, yeah. The bombs are common. So the sirens go off, and then everyone goes to the bunkers. They go into the shelters because the bombs are about to come. And so Prabhupada was living with his family, and he was just newly married, and it was dinner time. His wife was cooking. She was making kachoris. Prabhupada likes kachoris. In fact, when Prabhupada was young, he was given the name Kachori Mukhi, which means kachori face. His mother would put out a bowl of kachoris on his table, and he would eat. Anytime he wanted kachori, just go over and pick up a kachori. He would live like that. His mother was always very, very kind, offering nice foodstuffs. So he loved kachoris. So his wife was cooking kachoris, and then the bomb sirens went off. So his friend was at the house, so he said, "Abhai, let's go to the bomb shelters." Prabhupada said, "Well, you go. I'm not going." And so Prabhupada was telling this story, he was laughing, he was saying, and I was thinking, you know, I didn't go, and then the bombs were coming. The bomber, I can't imitate a bomb too good, but he was hearing the bombs go off, and Prabhupada said, "I was thinking that here is Krishna coming in the form of a bomb." In other words, he was seeing Krishna in this very serious calamity, where at any time one's life could be destroyed without even, you know, within a set fraction, without any notice. And so Prabhupada was thinking, this is Krishna. If Krishna comes to take me, then what can I do? So, but a devotee knows that Krishna is always protecting. Devotee knows that Krishna is. So we have no fear in our devotional service. There's another story, which was quite an interesting story. Sometimes devotees take chances and they go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. To go out on book distribution means to take a chance for Krishna. It's a risk. But the risk is reciprocal in that Krishna's mercy becomes readily available for those who take up this service. So one time there was one devotee. He was distributing books in the war-torn country of Yugoslavia, which is now divided into various sections, Croatia and Bosnia and some of the other areas. And he was finished for the day, so he went to one place in the city to rest. He wanted to take some time to rest before he went back to the ashram. So he went high up on a little bit of a hill, and as he was looking around, he could see the area of the whole city from the hill. And then at one point he looked in one section of the city, and it was completely destroyed by the war. All the buildings had been just turned into rubble, and it was just a bombed out area. It was quite large. So he noticed that area. So after some time he left. And the next day he came again and just started doing his book distribution. And it was getting late in the day, and it was about time to end. So just before he was about to quit, he met one man who was very, very enthusiastic. Oh, these books, I've been looking for these. These are such wonderful books on spiritual knowledge. And I'll buy one copy of every kind you have. Devotees would carry sometimes various books, sometimes six or eight different kinds of books. So, but the man said, I don't have enough money to pay with me, so please come to my home and I'll pay you beyond what the books are worth. So he was thinking, okay, it's time to quit. I'll just go with this man and sell him all these books. So they were walking, and they were walking and walking. And then as he was walking, he started to notice that the area became less and less populated. There was less and less people. So at one point, he started to realize that he was in the area of the city that was nobody. And then he remembered what he had seen the day before. And that same bombed out area where he had seen, there he was, walking with this man. And then he started to reflect, this man is not serious about buying books. He had been watching him, so he decided he was going to rob him. And so when the man noticed that he became aware of what was happening, he pulled out a knife. And he threatened him. He said, okay, go inside this building. He held a knife to him. So the devotee, what could he do? There's nobody around. And here was a man with a knife. So he just, what he did at the top of his lungs, in a desperation, he just called out, Nisringadev! As loud as he could. What happened was a big, giant dog disappeared from nowhere and just jumped on the man. Out of nowhere, a dog just came running and just took a leap and jumped right on the man with the knife, knocked him down, really knocked him down, knocked him flying. And then the devotee just turned around and ran, got away. Nice story. Don't worry, I give you all protection. The Lord Krishna is always there to protect his devotees. But a devotee, he has no fear. It's a nice story. One book distributor told me that when I was in London, just about a year or two ago. You want to hear another story about Lord Nisringadev? You like Nisringadev pastimes? I'll tell you another one. One time, this was in the olden days. When I went to Mayapur about 3 years ago, they had a book distribution seminar where various book distributors were speaking about their pastimes. And there was one boy, he was from Peru. He was describing that in the old days, this was back in the 70s, they were distributing books in Germany.
in the downtown areas in Germany.
And Germany is, Srila Prabhupada, he was so happy if any kind of inroads in Krishna consciousness could be made in Germany. Prabhupada felt if we can make the Germans Krishna conscious, then we can get all of Europe. Because he felt that they were very difficult to convince and to take to spiritual life. And that is pretty much their culture. So the devotees were distributing, they were distributing books, and they were also doing Harinam. They were doing together. So at one point they went around the corner, and they found themselves in a section where there was just across, on the other side of the street, there was this large motorcycle gang. And they were intoxicated. And immediately when the devotees came around, the devotees were chanting, so they saw the devotees. So and they didn't like the devotees at all. So they were intoxicated, so they started throwing bottles at the devotees, beer bottles and whiskey bottles, and just started flinging them at the devotees. And the devotees didn't know what to do. So then one of the bikers, big guy, he started crossing the street. He was going to look like he was going to do some harm to the devotees. Some of the devotees ran. He describes the story. But he stayed there with many of the other devotees, and they just started to chant louder, kirtan. While that was happening, while the man was crossing the street, there was a car driving along the road, and they saw the devotees. And they became a little bit excited. Oh, there's the Hare Krishnas. So the driver, he became so inattentive of where he was driving, he was watching the devotees, that he just crashed into this guy that was crossing the street. And the guy was finished. Hari Bol. He forgot to look where he was going. Ran right into this big guy who was about to attack the devotees. So you might say, oh, accident. But see, again, there's Krishna's mercy. He's always protecting his devotees. So really, a devotee has nothing to fear, except one thing. Prabhupada says, we do have one fear. And he said, a devotee should always be fearful of Maya, in the sense that that fear is not the kind of fear of like an ordinary person. The fear is that if I'm not careful in my Krishna consciousness, if I'm not serious and perform my devotional activities, I may again be affected by Maya. I may again find myself back in the material energy and struggling and suffering. So therefore, that fear, what does that do? That fear helps one to become more Krishna conscious. And therefore, in order to not to be affected, we become more and more fixed on Krishna. We think of Krishna more, we chant Krishna's name, we stay fixed in devotional service like that. Because at any time, Maya can attack. Maya does attack. We are very vulnerable here. We're in the midst of an area of the city which is noted for gang wars. I mean, there's gangs all around this area. No question. When I first came here in 1995, that summer, I was living on the third floor. And I can remember being awakened in nights with gangs fighting each other. They were throwing... In fact, one night I woke up, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and right across the street here where the church is, in that alley that goes, there was one group of men on one side, one group of men on the other side, and they were flinging bottles at each other and just speaking all kinds of mantras to each other too. For throwing the mantra, bottle mantras, you know. Throw a bottle, chant a mantra. And the police weren't even coming. They didn't come. It was just going on and going on. We were just watching. It was like watching a sporting event. It's like that. It's a very difficult area here. But Krishna protects. Krishna's protecting. We can't protect ourselves. Only Krishna can protect. If we have that faith, we should not, of course, flaunt the material energy and do things that which causes material energy to put ourselves in a difficult situation. We should always be careful, but at the same time, we should not be fearful of being overrun. We should be fearful of being affected by forgetting Krishna. That is the real fear. To forget Krishna. In the Vishnu Purana, there is one verse. What is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest anomaly? And what is the greatest misfortune? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. That is the verse. It's from the Vishnu Purana. To forget the Lord is considered the greatest calamity. Because one, again, is, again, overcome. Can be overcome by Maya. So Maharaj Ambarish, he had full faith in the Lord. He was fully engaged in the Lord's service. He ran his kingdom as a way of glorifying the Lord and carrying out the Lord's instructions for proper rule. And he was always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a wonderful pastime. Please don't miss any of these classes. This particular pastime is really so full of wonderful stories, messages, and so many other points in spiritual life. Okay, so we'll stop. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Oh, yes. We want to welcome our guest, Prashad. Right? Thank you for joining us. He's coming from Bombay. You're going to the temple in Juhu, mostly? And Chaupati also? Oh, okay. Because he is an aspiring disciple of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And he's come to be with us for a day? Today.
Later this afternoon.
Okay. So, whatever we can do to make your stay more Krishna conscious, let us know if you need anything. And we're happy you came. And I spoke with Giriraj Maharaj last night, and I have to talk to you about a few things. So he just gave me some instructions about some service that we need to do together. Okay, so thank you for coming, Prashad. When he first talked to me on the phone a few days ago, he said, Pravin is coming. That's your brother. Yeah. And he said, so then I mentioned, he said, oh, I might have told you the wrong one. Both of you are both disciples, aspiring disciples of? Ah. Which place in Bombay are you? Car. Oh. Yeah, we do programs in Kar. You know Mahaprabhu? Yeah, we do programs in, that's where his home is, in Kar. Wonderful. I'll be going to Bombay. I'll be arriving on the 19th of December.
19th?
Yeah. So on which day? 29th of November. So he'll be there. Wonderful. We'll all be going on Yatra with Radhanath Maharaj. Mayapur Yatra, yeah. She's going also. She's disciple of Giriraj Maharaj.
Last year he was supposed to come
to
VC. We had an operation.
Oh. Come to America. I see.
Nice.
Yeah. Will you be coming to the Yatra?
No, because I have got my office
Yeah. Oh. So you're busy.
Yeah, basically business.
Business.
Okay.
That's yeah. Good. Good. Well, I'm glad you came. I'm sorry if there was any inconvenience so far. Oh, it was quite cold when you arrived.
It's
first time. This is just the beginning. America is, you know, West is cold. When Srila Prabhupada first came in 1965, when he was living in New York City, one morning he woke up and he looked out the window and everything was white. And his reaction was, somebody has whitewashed the building outside. He thought like that. He had never seen snow. He said, somebody was painting the building white or something. That was Prabhupada. Anyway, but these temples, they're not in the material world. When you come into the temple, you're in the spiritual world. They're like, Prabhupada said, they're like embassies. Just like when you go to a country, if you go into a particular embassy, you're in that country, right? You may be in America, but if you go into the Indian embassy, you fall under the jurisdiction of Indian rule. You know, the laws of the United States do not apply. There have been many political people who have committed some crimes and taken shelter of embassies. And the local country cannot do anything because of the jurisdiction. So Prabhupada said these temples are like embassies. They're embassies of the spiritual world. So when we come inside the temple, we should know we're in a different atmosphere. It has nothing to do with 1716 Lunt Avenue. It's not the address. This is 108 by Kunta Lane. I was listening last night to a story by Radhanath Maharaj when he first went to Amsterdam. And I'll cut the story short because I guess most of you have some service. It's an interesting story. It glorifies Prabhupada's movement that he was just a new bhakta and he was traveling in Amsterdam and he was still, with long hair. And he went out on Harinam with the devotees in Amsterdam one evening. And so he started to preach. He was talking to one person. But while he was preaching, he got so absorbed in preaching that the devotees had left. It was time to go back to the temple, and they forgot him. So here he was in the middle of one district in Amsterdam, not knowing where the temple was and how to get back. So he had to walk back. And so in walking back, he had to go through all these districts, which were just like, it was Saturday night, and everyone was out on the town doing their intoxication and everything else. So he was being harassed. When they saw him, they started to harass him. He describes people were, coming up to him and calling him names, and sailors were pouring beer on him. That's what he told him. He says, and prostitutes were coming up and grabbing him. He said it was a horrible experience. It was a horrible. He was just trying to get back to the temple. And finally, after being lost, and he said he was so miserable being in that atmosphere that finally when he found the temple, he came in. He said he sat inside and he was just so devastated by the whole experience. And then the devotees realized that they had forgotten him, so they were apologetic. And then they came over and they offered him some prasadam. And he just sat there eating prasadam. And he said, to come back to that temple, I just felt so happy. I felt so protected. I felt like I'm home. He said, it was like waking up from a bad dream. And then he started to glorify Śrīla Prabhupāda, how Prabhupāda had brought Krishna consciousness to different places within the world, and it's, these are places of shelter, places of, you know, where we can actually live a normal life. To live a material life means to be in a abnormal condition, because the nature of the soul is that it is attracted to Krishna only. To be in a material world means to be in an odd situation, to be in an abnormal situation. So we can only be happy when we're in our own situation again, when we come back to what we really are. So when we come into the temple, we can feel happiness. We see the deity, we see the devotees, the atmosphere is filled with the activities of devotional service. It's a shelter, it's an oasis. It's free from all the influence of the material energy. So Srila Prabhupada has done wonders in giving us a chance to perfect our lives. He saved us from all this craziness. Material world means to be crazy. If you're not crazy and you're living in the material world, then you're considered by material standards to be crazy. And therefore you have to be adjusted to be crazy again in order to live in the material world. Really. If you think different than what people in general think, what is the value of the material world, you're considered to be abnormal, or what we call crazy. And therefore you need help to readjust to the real craziness. And once you readjust to the real craziness, then you're just like everyone else, crazy. And that's considered to be normal. If Prabhupada wrote that pamphlet, who is crazy? Some people say, we are crazy, and we say, you are crazy. 1968, Prabhupada wrote this one pamphlet, because people were seeing the devotees, they were walking around with bald heads and dhotis, and people were saying, you people are crazy. Prabhupada wrote this long essay, Who is Crazy? And then he went on to describe, if you do not know who you are, that's a sign of insanity. If you don't know who you really are, then you're insane. If you think you're this body, that is what is called a psychotic condition. That is called abnormal. We're not these bodies. We have nothing to do with these bodies. Just like we're inside of a building, but that doesn't mean we're the building. We're in the building, so we're not these bodies. So everyone in the material world is thinking, I am this body. Therefore, everyone is crazy. And that was the conclusion of that discussion. To think that I'm this body means to be in an abnormal condition. That's Krishna consciousness. Okay. Anything else? Getting a little late. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Sri Kishore Kishore. Srila Narahari Sakur Tirupad Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakti Vinda. That's a picture. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Kai Padak. Prabhupada Ki Jai.